Hey, this is Jeff Turner from the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to Penny for Your Thoughts, the Orlando Magic UK podcast. Now over to Jarrett, Mikey, and Paul. Kapaya!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
What's up, Magic fans? And welcome to this week's episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the Orlando Magic UK podcast. Today is Thursday, the 24th of August, 2023. On today's episode, we're going to be joined by Orlando Magic Pod Squad host and Bally Sports Florida sideline reporter Dante Marcatelli to get his thoughts on the new Orlando Magic schedule. And we're going to take a look at the FIBA World Cup, which tips off tomorrow, or probably today when you get around to listening to this episode. But before we dive into all that, this is 2 weeks running. The boys are all here. How are we? Have we had a good week, Gary?
Yeah, not bad, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing well. Have Sunderland turned their hopes around yet? I haven't been keeping up the scores, if I'm honest, so I don't know.
The one on the weekend, but I'm not even going to go into the transfer model. It seems to be run by an Excel spreadsheet.
I think of the three of us, Sunderland are all a higher position, aren't they?
Right now, but
yeah,
I'm not going to,
because they're the only one that's won a game so far.
Don't want me to go down that rabbit hole.
Good man, yeah. Good man. Paul, how are you? The Hoff?
Absolutely marvellous, my friend. Oh, absolutely marvellous, mate. I had a cracking time down in Cardiff for the rugby. That is one happy set of crowd. My God, do they enjoy an event? Wow. And hats off to that Welsh national anthem. Jeez, that is something special to behold in their own stadium. Very good. Yeah, enjoyed it.
And he beat you. Yeah,
win or lose.
Oh, mate, you're singing along all the while. No beach runs, mate. No beach runs. I've not needed to rescue anybody.
And that leads us nicely on to our Welsh counterpart. Geraint, how you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. I was just about to add to Paul's little bit there that, you know, win or lose, we have beer, we're just happy in general.
I was going to say, win or lose, you're on the booze. My God, can they drink?
Yeah. Oh, I walked past the pub about 8 o'clock in the morning because I had to take the kids somewhere last Saturday, and literally they were out already having their full English breakfast and literally, you know, a tray of beer. So, yeah, that's how we roll here.
Great crowd. I love them. Yep. Absolutely awesome to be amongst.
It's something else. Absolutely. But before we dive into today's episode, we're going to share an exciting new announcement, and that is we are launching our very own Orlando Magic UK Patreon page on the 1st of September, so a week on Friday. If you're unsure what Patreon is, it's a subscription service, put your teeth in, that gives you the opportunity to help support our podcast, the content we produce on the website, as well as giving you guys some exclusive perks, giveaways, and some content as well. We're going to offer several tiers with some unique benefits. As a Patreon, you'll be included in our monthly prize draw. And we're starting off with a bit of a bang as we launch next week. If you sign up during September on one of the two tiers that includes prize draw entries, we are going to be giving away a full premium NBA League Pass subscription to one lucky winner just in time for the start of pre-season and the start of the new season as well. Sign-ups will begin next Friday, the 1st of September, so when our next episode comes out. And you'll basically have to the 30th September to be included in that month's giveaway. And we'll do the draw probably the day after, a couple of days after. So keep an eye out for all the details on next week's show. And we'll give you all the information you need. Excited, boys? It's going to be good.
I'm looking forward to winning the draw. I'm assuming that there is going to be the caveat that the four of us cannot enter.
No.
Raul Bacor has got a free league pass.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've been talking about for a while, and we've had one or two people say to us that we really should do it. And it will allow us the opportunity to provide, hopefully, a better product to everybody that is I still find it amazing for people following us and interacting the way that they do. I mean, at the end of the day, it's four guys talking about basketball, just as fans. And I find it amazing and very humbling that people actually want to support us and listen to us. It's really good. Giving us some good friendships.
Mate. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get into some Magic news and updates. First of all, we're sending our condolences to former Magic head coach Stan Van Gundy, who lost his wife, I think it was yesterday or today, unexpectedly. So from all of us, we send Stan and his family our thoughts. This week, the Magic have been making some additions to the roster for training camp and preseason, signing several free agents. On Saturday, Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report and TNT announced that the Magic have signed Trevelyan Queen, who's reached a one-year agreement with the Magic. He was the G League MVP, Finals MVP with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers in 2002. 2002? Where am I going? 2022.
Wow. I mean, the boys, to be fair, that boy stuck around in the G League for a while, hasn't he?
Do you know what that reminds me of?
Oh, his knees are going to be knackered.
Yeah, I can't remember what the player was now, but I was listening to Brian Windhorse in the week, completely sidetracking now. And apparently there's a player that's going to be playing in FIBA. And I'll find out by the end of the episode. But apparently he's 46 or 47 and he's still going to be playing for his international team. And he hasn't played in the NBA for 13 years. So he might well have been playing in 2002, but who knows?
Backstory, Mikey.
Go on, dude.
Have you seen Trevelyan Queen's backstory?
Go on, let me have it.
He's come out of East Auckland, which is like, if you know it, it's pretty tough. But when you look into it as well, he's basically, from what I've read anyway, he's come out of such as like homelessness and such, real challenges and poverty. And he had that thing of like, do you really want to do this and follow this basketball dream or not? So if anyone's bored, Google Trevelyan Queen and have a look at his backstory. But it's when you think about triumph over adversity and underdog type character to get behind, it's pretty interesting reading.
It's one of those where you read that story and you know he's got the dog in him. You know he's going to fight for this opportunity.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see.
Yeah, he played 10 games with the Rockets 2 years ago and 7 games with the Pacers last year. He went undrafted out of New Mexico State in 2020. So he's the first of three signings. The second is Mia Oni, who played last year for the London Lions in the BBL, winning a championship with them. He's also signed a one-year deal. And he played 3 seasons with the Utah Jazz for 80 games. And the final one, which for me is probably the most exciting, and I think we'll all agree on this one, is the Magic agreeing a deal with Mac McClung, who was last year's NBA Slam Dunk competition winner. He appeared twice for the Sixers last year, but played for the Delaware G League team last year, averaging 19.8 points per game, 5 assists, 54.8% from the field, and 47.3%. If we want 3-point shooting, Matt McClung might be the guy. It appears that all of these guys are non or partially guaranteed, possibly exhibit 10 deals, which gives the Magic a chance to turn them into two-way contracts. We've obviously got one spot remaining for that. How do you guys feel about the 3 signings? And do you see a common theme with the players the Magic have decided to bring in, Paul?
You've touched on where I was going to go with this, with Mac McClung and the 3-point shooting. The other guy that has a bit of a background in that 3-point range is Oni, Mia Oni. Mm-hmm. Whilst he was with the Jazz, he got some decent minutes whilst he was playing for them, and he did have a decent 3-point percentage. I think it was in the mid to late 30s whilst he was with them. The guy who doesn't have much of a record is Trevelyan. His 3-point shooting is stated as a bit of a weakness, but with these other two, I think that's where we're looking at that ability to come on, have decent backup minutes, and be able to shoot the ball with the opportunities and space that's created by others. So I think it's a nice a nice set of guys to have a look at. Each one's clearly got something to offer. We've just spoken about Queen's backstory. Whilst he was with the G League team, he was a very solid performer for them. You don't end up with the MVP of the league, the finals, for no reason. And his performances drew rave reviews. 26 year old, so he's got that little bit more experience. But the one that interests me a little bit is Mione, because in his time with the Jazz, I don't know where you can remember him, but he came in the playoff series against the Clippers. Because of injury, he was not starting, but getting significant minutes in that playoff series, and was matched up against Paul George and had a lot of success in guarding him. So throw in the scoring, but he is clearly a strong guy as far as defense goes. And you know what, Matt McClung, I just really like the attitude of the guy. He came across in that three-point shooting the slam dunk contest. Such a likable lad. I'm happy with what we've done with these three guys. And I think, as we said before, it's nice to see the team looking to bring some experience in, but in different ways. Get an extended look during training camp and possibly during some of the exhibition games with these guys. Good on him. I like the look of it.
I think with Oni, he's got the size, he's got the traits, he's got the arm, he's got the wingspan. Those all fit the bill, and I think he's going to be an energy player from what I can gather. I don't think the points and the stats stand out, but I think he might be an energy guy we can bring off the bench. But
the other thing I would say is, in bringing in the guards in the way we are doing, mm-hmm. you kind of look at the front court and you think, we're not looking at doing anything there. So does that mean that what we're hearing, that Jonathan Isaac is in shape of his life, is there some strong belief in that he is really going to be able to contribute significantly to this team?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting tagline to the guys that we're taking a look at.
Mm-hmm. G, how do you see the Magic involving Queen McClung and Oni during preseason? And who do you think ultimately gets the extra two-way spot? Is it going to be you? Are you trying out for the Osceola Magic? They're doing tryouts.
Not this year, mate. I can't get time off work, unfortunately, to fly over there. But I would have been. Just listening to you guys there. I mean, I've been doing my due diligence on these guys, and the one I'm most excited about is Queen. Then McClung, and then only probably in third place, mostly based upon his stats with the London Lions in the BBL, who are, you know, head and shoulders above all the other teams. And he didn't shoot the ball very well, from what I remember reading. So for me, having Queen, who's obviously been, like you guys have picked up upon, you know, G League MVP, Finals MVP, etc. He's been the go-to scorer on the Grand, what they call the Vipers, and the Fort Wayne Mad Ants in the last two seasons, notching 22 points and 25 points per game, shooting 48% from the field. You mentioned that the three-point field goal isn't really there. And that's quite evident. You know, in three seasons in the G League, he made 128 out of 425, which is only good for about, you know, 30%. So that's obviously something he needs to work upon. But 83% from the line, you know, the mechanics are there.
Yep.
So. So myself, I think Queen's probably the best of the three, but I like the attitude that you get with McClung, as you've mentioned. But all in all, it's going to be just a dogfight just to see who gets this third spot, because obviously we've got Schofield and Harris. I can't see the team moving off any of those guys. You know, the organization isn't the type of organization that, you know, aren't going to honor signing them to a two-way and then cutting them straight away, I don't believe. They obviously see guard as an issue, and having that third used as a guard. So it's gonna be a dogfight. And training camp, you know, it's all gonna weigh up on that and who comes out best. But given the experience, I can see Queen beating the other two out if I was put my money on any of them.
The only reason I can think that we're going guard heavy with these extra signings is the fact that we started last year with so many injuries at the guard position. They don't want to be in the same position this time. And it might just mean our guards that are going to be in the regular rotation just might not see much playing time during preseason. They want to save them for the regular season, perhaps. But we will see how that will go. Last bit of Magic news. According to NBA Central on X, as we're calling it now, ESPN have released their Eastern Conference record predictions. They've got the Boston Celtics as the one seed with 55 wins. Bucks in the second seed with 54. The Cavaliers at 50 in third. The 76ers with 47 wins in fourth place. They've got Miami and New York with 46 wins. The Hawks with 41, the Nets with 39, and then they've got the Pacers and the Magic, both finishing in the last two play-in spots with 38 wins. Gary, do you generally agree with the way ESPN have this?
You said X, that's Elon's app, isn't it, Twitter? I can't wait for his cage fight when he turns up in his Iron Man suit and tries to... it's going to be great. Yes and no. I think if you look at the playoff teams where they've got that, I think that's pretty much probably accurate. I think a lot of eyes are going to be on the 76ers and what Mr. Harden decides to do or not do. I think the top two are, for me, clearly the best two teams in the conference. I think you could swap the Heat and the Knicks based on how the Heat might minutes rotate during the season. And we know how Thibodeau likes to use players. He's probably going to try and push them as high up the seedings as he can to get the best matchups. The questions really come when you look at the playing. And for the life of me, I could be wrong here and I could be getting parodied here in the future. I just don't think the Nets are a better team.
You read my mind.
I just don't. And I honestly, when I look at Charlotte and when I look at Detroit, I think they're as good as the Nets are, if not better. And you could make that case. I'll put the Bulls in that bracket as well, even, and who knows what's going to happen with Toronto, but I think you could swap those round. If you said to me the Pacers finished 6th, 7th, 8th, I wouldn't be that surprised. If we finished with the 7th or the 8th seed, I wouldn't be that surprised. And I think Atlanta's probably as good as, but what they've done with their front court, I'm not completely convinced. I just, the one that stands out to me there is Brooklyn. I think you get past Bridges and you're struggling, and his field goal percentage might be something that takes a hammer in this season, because anybody who plays the Nets are going to look at either crowd him or make him beat you by yourself. So yep. For me, largely, but I'm not convinced Brooklyn will be in the play-in.
Yeah, but you're forgetting they've got Nick Claxton, who's better than any player on the Magic, according to 2K.
According to 2K.
I like Nick Claxton, but
he's not that good.
It's just he's not there. It's just a ridiculous stat level.
I'll have to pick that up, because I need something to rest this coffee cup on. That would look pretty good, wouldn't it?
What's nice, though, about this is we're being noticed a little bit more now. Whilst we don't agree with, you know, like Gary says, the Nets, there's only one game between us, the Pacers, the Nets, only three games between us and the Hawks. So there's not much in it. And, you know, hopefully national media starts watching us, seeing, you know, and if Franz Wagner has a fantastic FIBA World Cup, then, you know, they're going to be thinking, you know, Orlando got Franz, they got Paolo, you know, the future's bright. So I'm with Gary. Whilst I don't agree with where we're at, I think we should be higher. I don't think Brooklyn should be there at all, but I've made that point.
I think it just shows that outside of the top six, it's a brawl. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to what we were saying, that it's hard to predict who is actually going to get the better record, because outside that top six, anybody can beat anybody. And there's so many questions about so many teams in this Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah. Agreed.
Completely. I would still go with For me, 39-40 wins. Same as we said last week.
So Friday is the beginning of the FIBA World Cup out in the Philippines, Japan and Indonesia. It's 32 teams, including Team USA, Germany, Australia, France, Canada, just to name a few. Unfortunately, there's no Great Britain. But if you're in the UK, this may work for overseas fans and followers too. But if you want to watch the World Cup, you can download the Courtside 1891 app, which we've all done. It's £28 for the whole tournament, and you can watch all the games live. And I want to say on demand as well, but I think we've had a couple of issues with some of the warm-up games with that. But
it does say on the description that you can watch them on demand, but right, it's just not been working.
So if you want to know how to watch it, download that app. The competition is made up of three stages. You've got the first round group phase, which consists of eight groups of four teams. I'm going to keep going. 25th to the 30th of August. Then we've got the group phase, second round and classification. That runs from the 31st of August to the 3rd of September. And then we've got the quarterfinals and semifinals on the 5th to the 8th of September. And the final is on Sunday the 10th. We've obviously got our attention focused on Magic players. Paolo Banchero will play for Team USA in Group C alongside Jordan, Greece and New Zealand. Their opening game is against New Zealand on Saturday the 26th, which is at 20-1 in the afternoon UK time. This is going to be good, boys, because we can actually watch it at a normal time. Then we've got France, and Mo Wagner will feature for Germany, and Joe Ingles will play for Australia. They're in Group E with Finland and Japan. Germany will play Japan on Friday. That is at 12:10 in the afternoon, and Australia will face Finland at 8 in the morning on Friday. And then Goga Batadze is on the Georgia roster in Group F with Luka Doncic and Slovenia, Cape Verde and Venezuela. Bit of a random team, Cape Verde being in there. Georgia will start against Cape Verde on Saturday, which is also an 8 o'clock tip-off in the morning UK time. And we'll also see a few ex-Magic players, Nick Vucevic from Montenegro and Phoebe Fournier, who's on form, as we expect when he plays for France. We'll get a chance to see them play as well. So, Paul, apart from the obvious and keeping a close eye on the Magic players that we've already mentioned, who are you excited to watch at the World Cup?
Canada intrigued me.
Okay. Why?
Canada intrigued me. With the talent that they have, they should be doing better, but they just haven't clicked as a team, it would appear, yet. So it'll be interesting to see them. It's always interesting to watch Luka put a team on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And internationally, it tends to be even more a case for him that he is carrying that team. In years gone by, I'd have probably said Spain. They just don't have that pool of talent that they had a couple of years back. But as defending champions, you still expect them to turn up and be a very difficult team to play. Who knows? I may watch France, a couple of their games, but it's primarily Magic related. Australia will be a good watch because they've got some good players as well in that team besides Joe.
Gee, who's your money on to win it all? And how far do you see Team USA and Germany going?
I think you'd be silly if you didn't think Team USA were going to go all the way. With their roster, you know, Paolo can't even get into the starting five, as we touched upon. Germany then, I think they're in, I had a quick look at the groupings. They're in there with Finland, who are ranked 24th in the world, Australia, who are third, and Japan, 36th. And I think then when you get to the second round, they're mixed in with a group which involves Slovenia. So I think some of those results are kind of not put together. Those teams are put together. So Germany may struggle against, you know, Slovenia, Australia, but obviously they've got a load of talent in the Wagner brothers, Schroeder. I'm just trying to look at the roster now. Isaac Bonga, he's got NBA experience. Daniel Theiss. And you know, when you watch them against Team USA the other day, they just look you know, very like a very well oiled machine. Everybody knows their role. Everybody knows what they need to do. So you could see Germany going, you know, far. I don't think they'll go all the way. If they get to the quarter semis, I'm sure they'd probably be happy with that. But if Team USA don't win it, I think you're asking questions. But other than those, you know, you've got your usual suspects: USA, France, Spain, Australia, Slovenia, and then possibly Germany as an outsider, I'd say.
Yeah, well said. Gary, what did you think of Paolo versus Franz on Sunday night as Team USA come from behind?
Had a little bit of extra spice on it, shall we say. I think it's interesting to watch because Paolo's obviously not in the prominent role and he's spoken out about it being something he has to adjust to, whereas we look at Franz and Franz is going to be the face of German basketball. And I think when you're looking at it, I wouldn't imagine there's a competition of who the alpha is on the Magic team, but I think we talk a lot about it being Paolo's team, but I think Franz has done every bit as much for the Magic as Paolo has. So I think it was interesting to see them going up against each other rather than working alongside each other. And there was that little bit of extra, you know, when Franz did the offensive maneuver at, you know, pulled it on Paolo. Paolo was trying to defend him. It wasn't like all-star level competition where it was like stand back. It was like, we're going head to head. We know what this means. And I think really, if anything, it just shines the light on Franz being up there with Paolo in terms of development. I don't think one is ahead of the other. I think they're both the face of carrying the franchise forward, but it certainly wasn't a friendly.
No, it certainly wasn't. Nope. Well, I think we're all eagerly anticipating the World Cup. It's going to be a lot of fun. But let's jump into our conversation with Dante. All right, Magic fans. And now we are joined by friend of the show, sideline reporter for the Magic and host of the Orlando Magic Pod Squad, Dante Marcatelli. Dante, how are you, my friend? How's your off season been?
Man, I'm doing great. This is it feels like basketball's around the corner. I'm talking to you guys. This is awesome. Right around the corner. No, off-season's been good, but hopefully this is the last long off-season that we have for a while, right? Right? We the season ended that first week in April. I think it's all about maybe playing a little bit longer. But no, it's been a great off-season, a lot of fun with the family. But this is the time, guys, as you know, where we're chomping at the bit to get back to work here.
Yep.
Absolutely. Dante, I heard you on the Six Man Show. You're always a good listen. And you answered a question about your favorite memory of the finals team, and you said stories about how they were just having fun, etc. So can you tell us what your favorite memory was from last season? Now, you know, be it a funny story or you just being around the team, you know, or a personal moment for yourself.
Well, I think it was. I don't know how funny it was, but I like the first conversation that I had with Bol Bol, right? Like this mythical figure last year that was coming on the court and going end to end and just getting in the locker room and chatting with him. I always got a kick out of that, you know, any kind of conversation that we would have. And, you know, we never talked basketball. I asked him about some of his favorite cities, some of his favorite food. That was great. He had a lot of fun anecdotes. And so we talk about that. So that was fun. I think the first time we laid eyes on Paolo Banchero, though, I think was probably, you know, probably the thing that's going to stand out more than anything. Not knowing what to expect and then seeing how he kind of took over and how much better he got as the year went on. And I think that was just absolutely fantastic. So there wasn't really like a moment that stood out, but there were series throughout the year with Paolo, with Franz and his emergence and just kind of how everyone played last year that will certainly stand out. Those two wins in Boston, I think, were probably my favorite games, my favorite memories, you know, what they did up there. You know, and then you finished the season 29-8. You had a nice postseason run. We didn't have any crazy Cole Anthony postgame interviews. You know, we that would always be at the top of the list. But there were certainly a lot of fun moments, big wins, big games, and then Paolo's debut. I mean, all of that was sensational from last year.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say you got the answer wrong there, Dante.
Okay, what is it? What was my favorite moment? What did you guys come in?
You had us. You had us. Literally on a merriment with.
And I'll tell you what. What was funny about that is you guys were doing interviews. You're on the floor. You're walking around. Like, I have to admit, they did a great job. They rolled out the red carpet for you guys,
absolutely,
which was cool. I looked out. I looked down there, and I hear Magic Basketball in 5, 4, and I'm like, I know that voice. I'm looking. You guys are on the court. You guys are introducing the game. People are pointing to you and yelling to you from the stands. I mean, that was a blast. That was awesome having you guys down here. That was great.
I couldn't put my teeth in. That's nothing new. I couldn't talk. That's right.
And Garrett, you know, they didn't let you come on that trip, but maybe you guys can all come together. Maybe you guys can work it out to come together.
The playoffs, man. The playoffs.
That's exactly right. Are you coming back in April?
We are coming for the playoffs.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
I might be coming in February as well. I've just got to just get the green light from the wife. So there you go.
Yeah, so we won't see you. But I'll look forward to seeing you, Paul. And seeing you guys. I'm kidding. Your wife is fantastic, and I'm sure she'll let you come.
Oh, that's a God, you killed me, man. Listen, your previous answer about the debut of Paolo actually segues into where I want to go. The initial 20 games of last season really did for our realistic chances of being in the playoffs. Yeah. So looking at the schedule release that has dropped in this past week, how are you feeling about that opening run that we have, those opening 20-odd games? And what's ultimately for the season, your expectations on win-loss for the Magic?
Well, it's a good question. And I think, you know, I don't remember when the schedule came out. I remember looking at it and thinking, man, it seems like a lot of long trips. It seems like a kind of a crazy schedule to start the year. But I just thought, you know what, I haven't traveled in a couple of years because COVID and different things. And they have me in the studio, which is great, and doing all that. So role kind of changed a little bit. But I called David and I'm like, this schedule just seems different. He goes, oh, I've never seen anything like it in my 34 years of doing this. So I thought, okay, it does seem strange. You have your opening night at home, and then you're gone for a 4-game West Coast trip. Then you're home for a few games, then you're back out on the road. So I had it down for, I think it's 8 of the first 13 are on the road. And that's always difficult, you know, when you have any kind of road game and you have a West Coast trip and all that. So of your 20 games, you know, I think 9 of them are on the road. So you do have 11 at home, because once you finish that initial sweep, you do have a 6-game homestand. So I guess if you look at it with those 13 road games, you know, ideally you'd like to go, you know, can you go 7-6? You'd love to do that. You'd take 6-7. I think you take 5-8. I think you're trying to avoid kind of what happened last year, right? You don't want to have any kind of a 4-9 or 3-10, you know, to start that with all those road games. So if you can play close to 500 ball, and then the problem is, guys, you know, not the problem, but the challenge is going to be your home games in the first 20. You got teams like Milwaukee coming in. You got some of the iron of the league are going to be in your building. So it's not an easy schedule. Can you play around 500 basketball in the first 20? Can you win 8? Can you go 8-12? Give yourself a chance. Keep yourself in the running, because I think you'll hit the ground running after that. You went 29-28 to finish the year last year. If you can avoid a 5-20 start, can we play around 500 basketball? I don't know. I'll throw this to you guys. You won 34 games last year. If everyone says, okay, so you should be a 500 team this year. I don't know how easy that is. I think this year, can you get, you take 500. That'd be awesome. I think you're a playoff team. Absolutely. I think you're somewhere anywhere from 7-10. I mean, you could strike lightning in a bottle and you could finish better than that. Certainly. But I think, you know, 34, that's a 12-win improvement from last year. To add another 7 to that, I just think is hard, but it's certainly doable. You can be a 500 team, but I think, hey, if you finish this year 38, 39 wins, I think that's an incredible accomplishment, and I think that gets you in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you just segued into to my next question very, very nicely there, Dante. Obviously, 12-win upgrade on the season before last with 34 last year, but with a healthy roster now, no injuries at guard like we had in, you know, November, right, December, right. Which was, you know, pivotal really. And we saw how the team played in the back half of the season. Obviously, you know, getting close, but not quite close enough. But with a healthy squad, JI back in the mix, and, you know, the fact that we've signed a couple of, guys to exhibit 10 contracts and they're guards. So they might be confident that JI's, you know, healthy. How big a jump do you believe yourself that the Magic can make in terms of wins next season?
Well, I think they can be a 500 team. I think they can make a jump. I think they could get, I mean, listen, if everybody's healthy and you have Markel doing what he did last year and Paolo takes a leap and Franz takes a leap and Jonathan Isaac is healthy the entire year, right? And Wendell continues to improve. You can get sixth. You can avoid the play-in nonsense altogether. I truly believe that. I think you have the personnel, you know, where you could be the team that everybody's talking about. Wow, remember it was Cleveland, you know, last year. It was New York a couple years ago. The team that there's always one that makes that big jump that nobody expects. You can be that team. You've got the personnel. If you can catch some breaks, if you can catch, you know, on this road trip to start the season, some of these road trips, if you can catch teams early, that's the benefit of going out on the road early, right? These teams haven't established themselves, so you might be able to catch somebody early. And then health, man, you just haven't had it. You have not had health for the last several years. So if you can do that and kind of change all of those things, and then you've got depth, right? You've got Anthony Black, you've got Jet Howard, Jonathan Isaac. What's his role going to look like? So I think you can be a team that is sitting there at sixth or fifth and watching everyone else duke it out for the play-in spot. But I think, you know, we know the schedule is tough. We know injuries happen. We know things are going to happen throughout the year. So I think you kind of temper your expectations a little bit. But I think, guys, you know what I think is these guys know that there's expectations on them. People are expecting them to be a playoff team, or at least to be in contention for the playoffs this year. And they want that. They embrace that. This is a young group that's ready, I think, to take the next step. And I think it's interesting, Garrett, just to the last thing I'll say on this is, you know, Jake Chapman did an unbelievable interview with Arnie Kander, who is now overseeing our sports performance department and now kind of working with the players. And his feeling was this group where this Magic team is now is like the Pistons team that he worked with 2003-04, right? A bunch of guys with the chip on their shoulder that are coming together, and you don't know, you might not know what you have yet. But if the right situation comes to be and, you know, eventually you add a piece or two or whatever, but the making is there. Guys that work hard, love to be around each other and are ready to make a jump. I got pretty excited when I heard that. And then you think, hey, the sky's the limit, you know, for a team like that.
It's like you're a professional at this, Dante, because you've now led perfectly into my next question.
I swear I'm not trying to do that.
Well, top job, mate. I'm loving it.
Yeah, that's right. That's
listen, you're saying about the Magic players, it's no secret that they're saying that this upcoming season would be a failure if they are not part of the playoffs. So something we've been going backwards and forwards on the pod, we're really seeing this year's Eastern Conference as a fist fight. There's kind of your top six teams from 7 through to 15. You can make an argument for any of the teams pretty much, perhaps not Washington, being in and amongst that mix. So how big a threat, let me put it this way, who do you see as being those teams that we're locked in a battle with for seeding, and how much of a threat do some of those pose, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a good question, and I think a team like Indiana had some injuries last year, but wow, did you guys expect that? They came out on fire. There was supposed to be a complete and total rebuild. But Tyrese Halliburton, you know, he was unbelievable last year. And Buddy Hield and now Ben Mathurin, they're going to continue to add to that. So I think that's a team you're going to be battling with. Charlotte is not going to have a year like they had last year. They should be more healthy than they were last year. So I think a team like Charlotte is going to be in the mix, right? LaMelo Ball, if he's able to stay healthy, and the guys that they add, and they need to make a run. You know, I thought Atlanta was a top four team last year. I thought that was a lock for them to be a top four team. But then you watch what happened last year and you wonder, DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, does it work? And now they trade, you know, John Collins away, who I really like. I thought he was a pretty good player. They may move Capella. You know, who knows how this all goes. So I think you're going to be battling them. I think they're kind of going to come back to the pack. I don't think there's any way Cleveland can have as good a year as they had last year. So do they come down a little bit? Where are the Knicks? Where do they stand? You know, some of their players, I think, outperformed, performed better than I think we expected, right, with Randall and Julius Randall, certainly, and R.J. Barrett. So maybe they come back to the pack a little bit. So I think you're right. You've got a bunch of teams that are right where you want to be that you're going to have to beat out. It's not going to be easy. We know the hierarchy. We know the top four teams in the NBA. And then everyone else is kind of going to be battling it out. But I think those are some of the teams that are certainly going to be in the mix. You said Washington, and I'm with you. What do you make of them? You know, they want to rebuild, but they've got talent. Kuzma and Poole can certainly keep that team competitive. And I think Chicago's a playoff team this year. So I think all those teams are right in the way. But I think your direct competition is going to be Indiana, Chicago, Charlotte, right there, trying to get in that, you know, I think 7, 8, 9 spot.
Well, with Charlotte, you're talking that's the team that, Gary, you're really high on, isn't it? With Bridges coming back.
I think they're under the radar because of injuries, but when you look at what they could roll out on the floor, Bridges already has that chemistry with LaMelo Ball. And then you look, Brandon Miller really just has to go in there and be efficient. If Brandon Miller's an efficient Jabari Smith, like, I think Jabari Smith will break out this year for Houston, but I think if he's efficient in that role as, say, the fourth option, because Gordon Hayward's there, Terry Rozier's there, Steve Clifford knows how to get wins, whether that's going to mesh with LaMelo Ball, that team will be better than people think. They will be better than people think. And LaMelo, like, on one hand, people's talking about Anthony Edwards. Everyone's forgetting that LaMelo Ball ran him really, really close right through that year. And if he's fit, he's a possible all-star and game changer as well.
What the other ones that we've been going about is the Nets and the Raptors. You just don't know what you're getting with them. Are they going to be the, you know, a lot of the Nets result last season was from having KD in that team.
Correct. And I don't think they're there yet. I don't know that, but Bridges is phenomenal, right? I mean, if Ben Simmons gives them anything, if he's able to come back, but you can't count on that. And now you're right. Now you don't have all those. You don't have that pad with all those wins from Durant and Harden with last year, right? So you kind of set that back. But hey, that's a good one. And Toronto too. You know, Toronto could certainly be in the mix. But it's hard, isn't it, to kind of know what those teams are right now? They both have lost so many pieces.
And then the one none of us have mentioned, Detroit.
Yeah, and we keep waiting for them to make a jump, and I don't know that you look at it and say, because, you know, Cade Cunningham was out all last year. So is he going to be healthy, and are they going to be ready to push, and are they going to move Bogdanovich? And that's a big scoring piece for them. So I think there's a lot to be determined there. I just think there's, you know, some of those teams you mentioned, there's just some question marks. Whereas the other ones, I think we saw a lot last year that they're poised and ready, you know, and then who comes back? You know, if Philadelphia can't figure out this James Harden stuff and Embiid gets mad, or, you know, somebody gets hurt, God forbid, do they come back? Are they not a top three team like we all think they are right now, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen, certainly in the Eastern Conference here.
And you look at Miami. Miami have lost their starting backcourt. People forget that. And they're just literally saying, oh, yeah, they're going to be there just because they got to the finals. But, you know, they're going to miss Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, who were, you know, big contributors.
I agree. Really but then, as you say that, guys, then all of a sudden, two guys like us show up, and they're right back in the finals. I mean, they could put Paul Bacon in there, and they wouldn't lose.
Oh, trust me, they're not getting any 3-point shooting.
They won't get any threes, and they'll get their money's worth in fouls. But they could still. The point is, what Spoelstra does there. You're right, Gary. I mean, it's a big hole. But I guarantee they've got guys ready to plug in because they knew this would happen, and they use their G League, and they, you know, it'll be amazing. We'll have to see who it is this year, but they'll plug somebody in. It's unbelievable. It's frustrating as heck, but it's unbelievable.
Heat culture, is it?
Oh, it's amazing. It seems to be some pretty good down there. They've got some great talent.
Dante, we already know about how good Orlando's young core is, and you've spoken a little bit about Indiana, but when you look around the league, the young cores seem to be us, Indiana, OKC, Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio. If you were looking at this, which ones are the ones that really stand out to you as a future threat for the Magic down the road?
Well, I think OKC is way ahead of where we thought they were. That team surprises the heck out of me. Only because I thought when Holmgren went down last year, I thought that front office was salivating, saying, great, now we can tank another year. I just feel like it's forever tank in OKC. But I was wrong. You know, they came out, those guys played, and they performed, and they darn near were a playoff team. I mean, that was an unbelievable run that Oklahoma City had last year. So that was a lot of fun to kind of watch how that all came together. So, you know, I think that both Williams are legit. I love Josh Giddey. I think the way he kind of makes things work with that team and knows who needs a shot at the right time and then finds those guys. And, you know, Lou Dort is kind of comes and goes, but Shea Gilgeous-Alexander burst onto the scene last year. And that guy is a bona fide top five scorer in this NBA, in this league right now. I mean, he's a top five player in this league. He's that good. Can he continue that? Can he possibly have a year that rivals what he did last year? Who knows? But they might take a jump. You know, they should be a playoff team this year for sure. San Antonio's not there yet, but they will. I mean, how intrigued aren't you guys so intrigued how Wembanyama is going to look this year? I mean, that's right. I mean, that's going to be
We'll let Paul answer that one.
I'm on record from last week's pod as referring to I am sick of the overhyping of Wembanyama coming into the league. I actually almost want to see him crash and burn because of it. And it's nothing against the lad. It's just there's just this overhyping is the best way I can say it, of a guy who hasn't thrown a ball in the NBA yet. We talk about the 2K ratings. And he's got the same as Paolo.
I know. But you know what? That none of that is his fault.
Absolutely. And that's what I say. It's nothing against
the guy. Correct. It's the stuff they throw on him. But, you know, hey, there's expectations. I mean, it was the same with LeBron, right? Coming in here and he had all those expectations. You're thinking, how can he possibly live up to that? And yet here we are, right? 21 years later. It's amazing. But he seems to be a great kid. The thing that was unbelievable was once you found out San Antonio was tanking, it felt like the whole world knew Wembanyama was going to go there. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You know, so they land him and it worked. It worked perfectly. That's exactly what they wanted. But I think the guy's legit, but I think it's going to be hard. You know, you now come with a, you know, you've got a target on your back. The whole world wants to measure themselves against you. So every single night, you know, he's going to have to deal with it. So he's got a lot, you know, and, you know, Chet Holmgren, we didn't even mention him in OKC now that he's back healthy. What does that team look like? So I don't think San Antonio is ready. Although, you know, that's frustrating to me. They get 13 nationally televised games, you know, and so they're already, you know, already showing that everybody wants to see him. But I'm fine with that because I like all the games being on Bally Sports Florida. So I like us getting as many games as we can. So I'm fine. I'm fine with that. But I think there's a lot of fun teams out there that we'll certainly have our eyes on as well. Teams that missed the playoffs that I think are gonna make a run. I'll tell you this. I'm not rooting for it. I won't go as far as what you're saying, Paul, that you're kind of rooting for a little bit to see if
G will understand because he's over here with whenever England football team are doing well, our news correspondents are... It's over the top.
Overbearing.
And the Wales and Scotland coverage doesn't get the same. And I'm kind of feeling that way. So, G, when it comes to the football, is anyone but England. And yeah, it's feeling. I don't wish the guy any ill. I don't wish the guy any ill. Don't take it wrong, man. Mace.
No, but there's a lot of people that feel that way. Too much. And I get that. And I think the media has done that poor young man a disservice. I
totally agree.
Because it's not his fault. I think they've made it hard on him because we're already setting him, we've already put him in the Hall of Fame. And it's not fair. Let the guy be a kid, let him figure it out, let him make mistakes, and now they're gonna critique it and analyze it. But how I feel that I'm is this Dallas situation. I cannot wait to see how this plays out. Is this thing going to be great and they're going to hit the ground running, or is it going to be the same Kyrie we've seen for the last decade and that thing is going to be a disaster internally, right? What does that look like? We have no idea right now, but I am really, really interested to see how that Dallas situation, you know, Jason Kidd's going to have his hands full trying to keep everybody happy there.
Yeah, Houston intrigued me as well.
Yeah, true. Yes, very much so. They're very much so. A nice addition of veterans, but it just, you know, Jabari Smith, I agree with you, Gary. I think he's going to have a breakout year too. Yeah. But I think these guys, you know, they're still a little ways away because it's just so hard to win in this league. But yeah, a lot of firepower. The NBA is in a great place. There are a lot of good teams, and really nothing would surprise you as we sit here at the end of August.
Yeah,
Wembanyama thing, I know you said about LeBron there, Dante. For me, I'm going a little bit further back. It reminds me of Yao Ming coming into the league. When Yao came in, it was kind of like we've got this giant who's coming in, the freak measurements type of thing. And then he had the whole of China kind of riding on his back. And then that brought the media coverage with it. And when I saw the NBA, I think it was the NBA or the Nike store in Paris, it was just adorned. I think it was the Nike store. It was just adorned with San Antonio Spurs jerseys. And you know it's kind of France's player to root for now.
Sure.
So I think he's carrying all that weight alongside the size, etc. So I think it's going to be a bit of a thing where you see, for example, all-star voting perhaps, where everybody in France votes.
No question. Could be. Well, remember when it was Yao Ming, you know, he was always at the top, but so were all of his teammates.
Yeah.
They were always up there, you know, as well. So, but you know what? It grows the game. It brings eyeballs, you know, to the NBA. And I love what they're doing now with FIBA. They just got to the Philippines. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's going to be fantastic. What an unbelievable basketball loving fan base there in the Philippines. So that's going to be great for this tournament. They were just in Abu Dhabi. So they've been all over the place and growing this game. You know, I just visited with Marcin Gortat a couple of days ago, and you mentioned Victor Wembanyama. Obviously, he's not on that level, but, you know, Marcin was the best player ever to come out of Poland, and he was the first when he was here. So can you imagine what his country looked like when he was here? And then Hito Turkoglu, same thing back in Turkey. So we've kind of had that, what these guys have meant to their countries and how they've represented these teams in this league back in their home countries. It's, you know, Nick Vucevic in Montenegro now as well. You know, so it really is amazing. These guys are icons and heroes, really, back home.
Paolo versus Franz. We've obviously got close interest in the FIBA World Cup. We're going to see Paolo, we're going to see Franz, Mo Wagner, Goga Batadze for Georgia, new signing Joe Ingles. Last Sunday, we saw Paolo versus Franz in one of the last warm-up games.
Yeah.
What did you see from that game, Dante, and what's your expectations for them at the World Cup?
You know what I saw? And it was funny because, I saw Mo Wagner with all that fire and all that stuff we love in Orlando, but now it's against Team USA, and I'm like, I guess kind of a little bit annoying me here. No, I love it. I love that. He's got that same fire. I love the passion that these guys have playing for their home countries. But wasn't it interesting? Wasn't there? I know there was one matchup in particular, Franz and Paolo on each other, and Franz had that little step back, kind of got where he wanted to. There was a little something extra. That was a great defensive possession by Paolo, and Franz was able to get it off and still knock it down. I think it's a little funny because we're used to seeing Paolo. At the end of a game, Paolo's going to have the basketball. But in that situation, you know, they're asking him to be the backup five, right? So he's got a completely different role. Everything's running through Franz, which we're used to seeing here in Orlando. But, you know, Paolo doesn't have the same role with Team USA that he's going to have here with Orlando. So I thought it was great. I think it's valuable experience. I think Franz came up big a couple of games ago. I know he struggled with his shot a little bit here against Team USA, but so did everybody for Germany down the stretch, right? Quite frankly, because USA was able to come back and mount that comeback. But I just love the fact that they're getting the opportunity to play these meaningful games, and they want to be in them, guys. Franz hasn't, what's he missed, three games in his NBA career? This guy wants to play. This is two summers in a row where the guy's playing, and then now going to go into, so it's going to have two summers sandwiched around three NBA seasons. I mean, that's phenomenal. And the same with Paolo. Like, these guys want to be out there playing basketball. So I love that. I love the passion. I love what they're learning. I love that they're on the floor, late game situations with the ball in their hands. I think that's fantastic. And I think Germany is a problem for a lot of countries. I really do. And Mo, to me, was the piece they were missing when they were doing this last year. Now Mo Wagner is back. He's healthy. And I think he's going to have them. I think they're a top three team with him out there. I really do.
I thought the matchup of Paolo and Mo was quite fun to watch.
Yes. Well. Yes, it was.
With them both being the backup position there, that was fun to see them two.
Well, and don't you think there was like a look about Paolo, like, I'm not taking the bait here, Mo. You're not going to get under my skin. I know what you're doing. You're going to elbow me. You're going to do all the physical things that you do that we love when he's here in Orlando. But, you know, Paolo knew that. He knew that. But it was physical. And there was some, but couldn't you tell there was something there when they were kind of, you know, extra hard box outs, going after rebounds, blocking shots. God, the block Paolo had the other night was unbelievable. But I think, when teammates go against each other, there tends to be a little something extra. Mm.
Yeah.
How far do you think USA are going to get, mate?
Well, I mean, I think they're. I still think they're going to win it. I think they can win it all, and I think they should win it all. You know, they're so talented. They've got a lot of depth there, but I think that kind of opened their eyes a little bit, that game against Germany, how hard things can be. But I think what came out of that is the whole basketball world saw Anthony Edwards emerge to the stage and say, "Oh my goodness, this is the guy." They're right. I think that was the. They actually all said that exactly after the game, that this is the guy. We're going to run things through Anthony Edwards. But listen, I think there, you know, there's so many teams that are talented, and you can't, you know, we've not seen Slovenia with Doncic, so they're going to be right there. Obviously, and I think Germany's right there. You know, Spain is going to have, they're going to have something to say about it. And I think we all keep waiting for Canada to just get on some kind of a roll, right? Doesn't it feel, they're just so loaded with talent. France, obviously, as well. So I think there's a lot to be said, but I'm sticking with Team USA, and I think they can do it.
Dante, obviously, the NBA draft gave us Jet Howard and Anthony Black. Given your position, how pleased were you that Grady Dick wasn't the name that was called for the Magic?
Well, I'm not going to answer that, but I know what you're getting at. But I'm not going to go down that road. But it is funny going back and seeing some of the memes that have come out after draft night and some of that stuff. But we were prepared here in Orlando. I think we thought there was a really good chance that's a guy that could come here, and you know, and if he did, the shooting alone, I mean, right? You kind of salivate at the way he's able to shoot the basketball. But I'm quite happy with Jet Howard. I'm quite happy that we went that direction. You know, we know Juwan. We know the professional that he is. He played a year here in Orlando and, of course, 19 in the NBA. And he's been back here a bunch because, you know, half of his team, you know, half of the Michigan roster from the last 3 years is on the Magic. so he's been back. He's been back here a lot. So I think Magic fans are going to be quite pleased with Jet Howard and certainly with Anthony Black. They're names that weren't household names, I think, for a lot of Magic fans after the draft. So I think there was a lot of what are we doing? Who are these guys? Yeah. But you quickly saw Summer League. And now we find out Anthony Black wasn't 100% and still was able to perform like that. So I think that's pretty impressive. And we know Jet Howard kind of played through an injury last year. You know, had he not been injured, I think that would have been a different season for him and for Michigan. So, I will just say I'm happy with the guys that we have, Gary. I'm happy with the guys.
Wow, spoken like a true politician.
Yeah, there you go.
Good man. He didn't take the bait. Yeah, good man. Yeah. Well, Dante, thank you as always for joining us, my friend. It's been a pleasure as always. Always good fun to have you on the call.
My pleasure, guys. I got to ask you this before I. It's always great seeing you guys. As soon as we finish, excuse me. As soon as we finish, I'm gonna go finish the last episode of Ted Lasso. Sorry, I swallowed that wrong. I swallowed something the wrong way. As soon as we get off the podcast, I'm gonna go finish the last episode of Ted Lasso. What is your view? Do you guys like that? Do you hate Ted Lasso? Is that popular over there? Do you hate it? Is it a mockery? Where do you come out on that?
I have never seen an episode.
I'm with Mikey. I've never seen it either.
Oh, no. Wow.
What it is.
Have you actually got... You've got
there you go.
House,
yeah, I got my
full
my
house
answer.
Of four people that haven't seen... It's on. That's it's available.
That is funny, but you won't even, you're not even interested to check it out. That's great. That's
oh,
what
we'll
I was
check,
wondering.
Oh, we'll check it out. We'll check
Just
it out.
Now. That's what I was wondering. Said.
Yeah. We'll check it out now.
I remember when we had Alex Martins on. He said to us then, that his favorite TV program was Ted Lasso. We really should check it out. And none of us ever have done.
How about that? Well, you check it out and get back to me because you're immediately going to be able to judge the value of the soccer. You're going to be able to check and see if their football skills are up to par or not, which I can't really tell. Looks good to me. But I think you guys will be able to critique it a little better. But it's a funny show. It's a good show. I really got into it. I didn't think the last season was that great, but this is unbelievable. I can't wait to see how it ends. We'll see.
I know it's got a reputation as a phenomenally funny program, and I couldn't tell you why I haven't watched it. Probably because Mrs. Bacon has the remote control most of the time.
Fair enough. That's right. All right, guys. Well, good to see you. Good to see you. Always great catching up with you. I can't wait to have you come back to Orlando, and hopefully we get these London games on our schedule here coming up. It'd be great to get back over there with the team. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, as always, it was great to have Dante on. Always some great insight. We had some good laughs with Dante. He didn't take Gary's bit of bait that we threw in there at the end.
But, the one that was cooked up in the group chat between all of us and given to me. Yeah, that was.
But that was great to have Dante join us. And last reminders, we are launching our Patreon on Friday, the 1st of September. So keep an eye on our socials and we'll give you full details on next week's episode of the podcast. But thank you as always for listening and watching. Please hit that subscribe button on YouTube, Orlando Magic UK. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, X, all at Orlando Magic UK. So from Gary, Geraint, Paul and myself, till next week, go Magic.